Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hot. That's right, hot everywhere. There's sweat, there's stifling. Sun is just burning down everyone. We don't even have air.
Is that you?
The studio is actually ridiculous. Well, of course.
Daddy, Vernon, come quick. We're going to have to take him to hospital.
Who did this to you, boy? Happy, are we, now? Eh? You've finally done it. You've finally driven him loopy. Well, just look at him, Petunia. Our boy has gone yumpy. I've reached my limit, you hear? This is the last I'm going to take of you and your nonsense.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So Harry's on the train.
Mm-hmm.
And as he gets off the train to Hogwarts, he sees a dead horse thing and goes to everybody, oh, look at that, isn't that weird? That's pulling the car. And they're like, nothing's pulling the car, Harry, it never is. And then we meet Luna Lovegood, Courtney
Luna
Love.
Luna Lovegood. Courtney Love. Yeah. Courtney Love.
And she says, no, I can see them too.
Do you know the story of Luna Lovegood, the lady who plays
it's
her?
It's like 15,000 girls auditioned or something, isn't it?
Well, I heard, I don't know if this is true, that she wasn't well, that she was very unwell, and she got her book signed by J.K. Rowling. And J.K. Rowling said, if you get better, you can play Luna Lovegood.
Hmm.
Oh.
Aww.
Yeah, but that might be...
She does a good job.
Yeah, I think she's very good. And she's got that sort of drifty, sort of airy thing going on really
well.
Well,
she is great. And also, in a couple of films' time, Rhys Ifans plays her dad, and he copies her voice, and it's really cute.
Oh, nice.
Well, I'd like to see that. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
He's another. Rhys Ifans is one of those sort of, I think now someone told me he lives in like Ibiza and just has this amazing life. But he's brilliant, isn't he, Rhys Ifans?
Are you saying, Tom, and I think I speak for all the kids when I say this, people be sleeping on Rhys Ifans.
Yeah, people be sleeping on Rhys Ifans.
If you've seen Rhys Ifans playing Peter Cook in Not Only But Always, it's a performance for the ages.
Oh, wow. Mm.
It's very good.
I should see that. Watch that again, actually. I remember enjoying it at the time.
Yeah, and the guy playing Dudley Moore, his name escapes me, he was amazing.
I've got to watch that, you know, I only saw bits at the time.
I think it's all on YouTube.
Mm. Oh, nice. Right,
well. But yeah, Rhys Ifans is great, and films like Twin Town he's amazing in, and then Notting Hill was the one that made everyone sit up and look at him, because he
That's
had to
right.
play the kooky flatmate.
Kooky flatmate.
Mm. So the show Elementary... which is sexy heroine
Sherlock Holmes.
He plays Mycroft.
Does he?
Oh, that's good casting.
That's great.
It is good casting. And I would say, without wanting to be needlessly unfair or cruel, the whole sort of sexy, modernised, run-down brownstone flat in New York aesthetic of like the reimagining of all of Sherlock Holmes.
Mm. Yeah.
I would say that his Mycroft is maybe the only one that actually works.
Okay.
Good for him.
I can well believe that because he's always great.
Mm.
And it's not bad considering he started off being in the Super Furry Animals.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, he left to be an actor.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I think he's in one of their videos. He's in Hometown Unicorn, if I remember rightly.
He's also in the video for Importance Being Idle, which is one of my favourite music videos.
Cool. Sadly, it's by Oasis, but never mind. yeah, so
like
she.
How Dr. Brian Cox is one of the greatest actors of his generation.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah. Imagine if his name was Dr. Philip Fanny.
Oh, he wouldn't be as famous, would he?
He'd be famous then.
What if he had a co-presenter whose name was Angela Fanny and, who's here to tell us about the wonders of the cosmos? It's Fanny and Cox, they'd have to say.
Oh, brilliant. If I was him, I'd actively seek that out.
Yeah.
I'd ask Robin Innes to change his name to Robin Fanny.
I think Ricky Gervais already did that.
Oh, yeah, he did,
I changed it by default, Robin.
Well, you were asleep. Poor Robin.
Oh, he's very much the Uncle Vernon of pranks.
he is.
Yeah.
So then she starts going on about how all their things are being stolen by the Nargles.
Yeah.
Yep.
And sounds legit insane.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think it's a beautiful performance, the dreamy kind of creepy thing. But if Hogwarts was in America, I'd be like, keep an eye on that one.
Yeah. Check her bag every day. Put the metal detectors up.
Yeah.
High alert. on Lovegood.
Mind you, that must be a problem anyway, because every fucker's got a wand.
Yeah, they've got nuclear devices in their pocket.
And you'd be able to do such pranks like piss yourself otus.
Yeah.
Massive woody ocus.
Big shit in your panties.
Yeah. Will it? It's
AIDS.
Because that...
Horrible prank.
Horrible prank.
Spends
terrible.
Days lying in bed being really thin and dying.
Awful.
Oh, I showed you.
Yeah.
You got
Show
me.
Z Malfoy.
Yeah. Oh, talking about... Sorry, Tom.
No. It's just, I really like Emma Watson's performance when she says, this is Loony Lovegood, and then she realises what she said and says, Luna Lovegood. I thought that was a really nice bit of acting from her there.
And Malfoy turns up again and says, oh, all right, Potter, are you still scared of death? He's like, yeah, I am. Mm. He's like, worse. I think this is our last crab as well, I think.
Oh, really
is it?
Shame.
Oh,
he's in
yeah,
this.
Before he gets
rest in power.
Kidnapped or whatever.
Which we've covered in great detail in
we
other
have.
Episodes.
Please don't
leave that alone, probably.
No point rubbing it in anymore.
Please don't beat yourself.
Yeah.
We love you.
We love you.
So,
moving away from anyone who might have played any of these characters, how thick are Crabbe and Goyle that they're still hanging around with Malfoy long after he's become... the biggest loser in Hogwarts.
Such a loser.
He's so pathetic.
If he was on Twitter, he'd constantly reply to Elon Musk saying how great he is.
Yeah.
Oh my God. First in the replies every single... like.
Yeah. He'd do one of those... have you ever seen those where they say things like... would you rather have £1 million or be a waiter at this table? And it's like Andrew Tate and Elon Musk and Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, oh, I'd be a waiter. Just so I can get some of their advice on how to be brilliant.
Mm.
Yeah.
Just so I can not be tipped by them.
Yeah. They can treat me horribly and then I won't get any tips.
Yeah.
So I'd have at that table Trump, Tate, Musk, Uncle Vernon.
I knew it.
Unlock the door.
Yeah.
Although I think him and Tate would respect one another.
Definitely.
True. Yeah. I think Tate would.
The robot would in like... Vernon would respect him.
Tate would, I think, feel he'd been felled by a worthy adversary.
Yeah.
Vernon would be like, I'm so sorry, I don't even want to be here.
Yeah.
Got to do. Anyway.
Like, I'm sorry. Well, actually, come to think of it, I'm not that sorry.
Yeah.
For this one.
At Assembly, Dumbledore says that Hagrid is on temporary leave.
Weird.
Yep. And that Dolores Umbridge is the new Defence Against the Dark Arts professor.
Red flag.
So she's... sorry?
Red flag.
Yep.
Yeah,
he's about to continue talking. She does the and stands and gives a speech about how basically the old ways are the best and there's no point learning anything new.
Yes.
Yeah.
Harry points out that she was at the hearing and she works for Fudge, which can only mean one thing. And then Hermione goes, yeah, the ministry is now interfering at Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Boo.
Can you imagine if you weren't up to date on who everyone was and you heard him go, she works for Fudge. And then everyone's like... what? That's her salary.
Sounds very affordable.
Yeah.
Or do you mean
Professor
like...
Monkey. He works for peanuts.
Yeah.
Do you mean bum stuff? No. Imagine being just annoyed that the ministry would want to get involved with a school that's literally a working nuclear time bomb.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Where
everybody dies.
A student's just died and they're like, leave us alone. Mm. You're like, no.
We'll manage ourselves, thanks. Yeah. Now... bear in mind that our giant keeper has just gone to talk to giants so they'll have a war against you. But never mind about that. We get to the common room and Seamus hates Harry because his mum has been talking about her. And he goes, well, I don't care about your stupid mum thing. And he goes, don't you dare call my mum stupid. I'm like, that's a bit harsh.
Yeah. I don't know. I when he said your stupid mum, I was a bit like, oh, Harry.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
It's really
horrible.
Do you
want to go down that route? Okay, fine.
Well, my mum's still alive.
Yeah.
At least mine's alive.
Yeah.
As an Irish person in the 90s, Seamus also should know not to trust everything the papers say.
Exactly.
Are you saying that Seamus says, I won the mums?
Yeah.
I won the mums.
You and I have got this gone, don't you?
And then Ron says to him, leave him alone. And Seamus goes, you don't believe all that rubbish about Cedric? He goes, yeah, I do actually.
Yeah.
Do you want to make something of it? Does anyone else want to make something of it? No one says anything, fucking pussies.
Yeah. Ron's so intimidating.
He is.
Yeah.
And then he goes into Harry, who's all sad in his bed, and goes, you're right, mate. He goes, I'm fine, Ron. Leave me alone.
He's like, I just put my neck out for you,
mate. Yeah.
He
goes back in and goes, actually, he's a cunt.
Yeah.
Get the snooker balls and the pillows.
And Uncle Vernon.
Yeah.
Oh, I always feel like, because... I agree with you that all the actors really show up well, especially you know, as they get older. You go, oh wow, they got lucky with these kids.
Mm.
But I always feel the character of Harry comes across as such a little dweebus.
Mm.
Like he's just the way that he sort of his role in the show, because he just throws a tantrum anytime anybody questions his like golden boy status.
Yeah,
in any
yeah,
way,
yeah, yeah.
And like lashes out at them, and you go, all right, mate, come on, you're like the chosen one of all of magic people. Like, yeah. Just chill out.
Well, this is going to get even worse in this film, isn't it? Because if you're one of the kids who hates Harry Potter because he's always getting all the attention, you're like, well, at least he's a student. Like, at least he's a student. And then it's like, I'm Harry Potter and now I'm a teacher and I'm going to teach you all. And you'd be like, for fuck's sake. Yeah.
This fucking guy.
When he's asleep, he has a vision of Voldemort at the train station.
Mm. Yeah.
It's funny because I used to have dreams about being a big snake slithering down a tunnel when I was a teenager.
And then you'd wake up and there'd be some mysterious...
There'd be venom. Some toothpaste on my pillow.
So Umbridge has her first lesson, Defense Against the Dark Arts. And she says, well, we're now going to do the ordinary wizarding level exams, or OWLs.
Mm. Yes.
Wouldn't that get quite confusing in the wizarding world?
It would be.
What did you do my owl's today? Coming up. Yep, I can see it approaching. No, yeah. I need to revise for my owl. What, how to take care of an owl? No, my owl's
coming
up. Your
owl's taking the exam and you're revising for it.
That's right. No, my owl. No, watch out for my owl. Your exam. No, smack. And then the owl collides.
Smack
with
my owl up.
Smack my owl up.
And after that, they've got to sit there. Critical order of
critically
knowledge.
Unusual normal test.
A critical order of knowledge.
Critical order of knowledge.
Oh, no.
The critical undergraduate non-relative test.
Yeah, exactly.
Fully automated neural network year.
The November ordinance necessary class exam. Remember, remember to go home and tell your parents that this term you'll be studying for a nonce.
They're unusually natural, critical level exam.
Yeah.
Validation, energizing, remedial, named... on nonces.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Lovely stuff.
I've got to revise for my Uncle Vernon this year.
No, son!
No.
Oh, no.
Fucking banging at the door. So basically they're doing like a baby magic.
Yeah.
And they go, well, she says it's no spells and risk-free. And then they're like, well, what about if someone tries to attack us? And she goes, who's going to want to attack children?
Mm.
And Harry goes, whoa, what about Voldemort who killed someone?
Yeah.
No, he didn't. What happened to Cedric was a horrible accident.
Yeah.
What do they think happened?
Heart attack.
Right, oh, okay. Mm. Congenital disorder. Mm. Poor Jeff Rawls saying, he never had any history. Like, shut up.
Maybe Jeff Rawls' evil daughter from Drop the Donkey murdered him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Whose name escapes me. But Harry gets a detention.
Good.
For speaking out so much, because in her class you have to put your hand up when you want to speak, which I think is fair enough.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm middle-aged.
Not fair. I wouldn't say that what happens next is fair.
Oh, no, this is genuinely like something out of a horror film.
Yeah, it's
this
really.
This is
horrible,
like out of the
it?
Orphanage or something. It's way too. It's too good.
So he has to write that he mustn't tell lies.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which again is quite evil, isn't it? As a thing to make a child say. Yeah. And as he's writing it, it appears on his hand like he's cutting his hand.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Really
knowing,
horrible.
Because, you know, she's a kind of a Mary Whitehouse stand-in, really, isn't she? Like a censorship junkie. And knowing with hindsight what these kind of, you know, eternal school mom virgins like Mary Whitehouse and Anne Widdecombe are like, I think she's probably getting quite a hefty and unhealthy sexual frisson from watching that happen.
Ooh, yes. She's getting off on all of that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't she?
Oh, yeah. She's ringing Fudge later. They're like sexting over the phone.
Ugh.
Genuinely, I thought when you said ringing Fudge, I thought that was a reference to something I didn't even know what, couldn't even fathom what that could mean.
She's ringing Fudge
out
of her clothes.
I don't want to think about that.
No.
Oh, I think that's when you just had a black coffee and you're like, oh god, I'm gonna ring some fudge.
Oh.
ring my first fudge of the day.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Fred and George give a child some sweets to make his head turn fat.
Oh, yeah. So he gives him a goiter.
Gives him a massive goiter.
Yeah. Woof.
Yeah.
He's like, oh. And Ron and Hermione, then they see Harry's hand. Yeah. They're outraged. They say, you got to tell Dumbledore. And he's like, no, I don't want to talk to him. and then she goes, they got to tell someone. He goes, no, no, it's fine. It's fine. Which is really, again, disturbing.
Yeah.
Harry meets Luna in the woods to look at some more dead horses. Great. And you can only see them, apparently, if you've seen someone die. So everybody who watched the 1984 Royal Variety Performance can see these things.
But Ron and Hermione were on the other side.
That's
at the time,
right.
So.
Yeah, yeah. I just got what that was.
Don't, if you're making a video of this, someone don't put that clip in. No, no one wants to see Tommy Cooper dropping dead. Thank
no,
you.
Yeah, no, no, no. No one wants to see Dustin G. Come on.
No,
all.
God, no. No. Who, you know, it was also cursed. Umbridge gets more control over the school. She starts putting up loads of rules and regulations. And we get Umbridge's theme, which is a bop.
It really is, isn't it?
This whole montage is brilliant.
It's fucking great. Filch is like, I can't believe my luck. He's like rubbing his nips. He's doing that funny run he does. Putting up rules
and regs.
Love
that little run with his high-kneed run.
Yeah.
Love it.
Dumbledore comes back because... he isn't happy because Umbridge has just fired Emma Thompson.
That's brutal, isn't it?
Yeah, she's like, tell us something from the tea leaves. And she's like, you're in great danger. And she's like, right, you're fired.
Yeah.
And Dumbledore turns up and he goes, look, you can fire them, but you can't tell them to leave the school grounds. And I'm just like, well, what's she still doing here if she's been fired?
Well, that then they're going, well, hang on, does that mean that people who aren't adults who aren't staff can just knock around the building?
Dumbledore says they can, which does still feel like a safeguarding nightmare.
It does. Yeah. So
throughout all of this, like with Staunton's, you know, pink rampage around the school, I was kind of going like, is this going to be like in the first film where at the end of the movie she'll open her house coat and one of her boobs will be Voldemort's bald head?
Oh, that'd be amazing. That'd
be so good.
Because I didn't know, you know, maybe she was him as well.
No, sadly not.
Harry! That's a distressing image.
Yeah, him and Duncan Goodhue in the other one.
Ross Kemp.
Yeah, Ross Kemp, there you go. So Dumbledore takes off Emma Thompson and Harry's like, Dumbledore! And he still ignores him.
Brutal.
It's like fucking cock tease. Sirius appears in a fire.
Yeah. Yep,
they've cheaped out on the effect this time.
They have,
you know,
haven't they?
Mind, yeah.
I prefer this effect, personally.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The weird coals.
Yeah, I like the hot coals thing. I thought it was cool.
It was more creative than just putting him in a flame.
Yeah, it looks good. It looks good. It's just having seen the last one, I thought, they went for a simpler.
But he
solution.
Says that Fudge is blocking the truth at every turn. And
fudge
Voldemort's
blocker.
On the move. Fudge blocker, yeah.
Have you got the fudge blockers? Man, I've been absolutely ringing fudge.
Just have some prunes, mate.
Yeah.
But he says, look, Voldemort's on the move, but I'm afraid you're on your own.
Oof.
Yeah. And because no one will help them, Ron and Hermione say to Harry, well, let's do it ourselves.
Yeah.
We're going to form a secret group to teach the students spells.
Let's do the concert right here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm a passing record producer and I couldn't help over here. So Harry, they decide, is the man to teach them because they're like, have any of you attacked Voldemort? And they're like, no. And you're like, have any of you... done swimming? Fought a dragon? No.
Yeah.
No.
It's like, no. I mean, they're you all know like, it's just you, Harry.
Well, they're like, yeah, we didn't have a chance though, did we? So yeah. he does everything. So.
Yeah.
So they need a room to practice. And then Hermione's like, oh, I like the idea of breaking rules. And Ron says, who are you and what have you done with Hermione Granger? Which is a funny line.
Yeah, it's funny.
He might as well have said... did that just happen?
Did that just happen?
Yeah.
He's behind me, isn't he? It's like one of those like
record scratch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me. I bet you're wondering how Hermione Granger ended up in this situation.
Or you could also go, yeah, that's me. No, the ginger one. Not the tall looking guy. So Neville, while he's wandering about, starting to look a bit hunkified in this film, isn't he?
Yeah, Neville's looking
on his way.
Sexy as well now,
He finds the Room of Acquirement.
Yay!
Mm. Yay! The, or the, you know, the convenient room.
Mm-hmm.
And then Harry teaches classes in there while mm-hmm. Filch is onto their game because he's obviously working for Umbridge. So he's sort of watching for when they're going to come back through the wall so he can catch them.
Yeah. Filch sort of reveals himself in this film as the kind of Daily Mail reading uncle who gets rock hard reading Sarah Vine's columns.
Yeah, yeah, he's Jeffrey Thingy, isn't he, from Secret Army?
Sure, yes.
Not Jeff. You know, from As Time Goes By.
Oh, Jeffrey Palmer. Palmer.
Bit of a cock up on the old catering front.
There you go. Meanwhile, Harry and Cho Chang, they're really falling for each other now because Hermione's going, well, I'll tell you what, after that meeting, I bet you didn't notice one thing. And Harry's like, what's that? She goes, she was absolutely frothing. No, she says she couldn't keep her eyes off of you.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, hello.
Ooh.
Cho Chang, very important love interest, hasn't got a line in the film, I don't think.
She's not very, like, vividly characterised, is she,
Cho Chang? No. I was thinking this is like, because I really enjoyed this film, but I think that you see the kind of it coming from a longer book, and also a book that they're quite sort of fastidiously sticking to.
Yeah.
Because there was a, when Hermione says, oh, we've got to teach ourselves, I was going, is that the first line she said all film? And it's not.
Oh, but yeah.
It's close feels to like it. And I think the thing is, that's it's a very, very good and sort of neat adaptation of a giant novel.
Yeah.
But if you were making a you know, a movie about three magical friends at school who form a sort of underground resistance movement, that probably wouldn't be the first time you heard her speak.
No.
She's one of the main characters.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference. But I think it's a different prospect, isn't it? More and more you realise that these kind of adaptations that are really, for the diehard fans, they're a completely different brief.
Yes. Oh, it must be so hard. Like, trying to write those scripts must be an absolute nightmare because you're... Because I forgot as well, but each one is a school year, isn't it? So you've got a year that you need to distill and, like, make sure you honour everything. There's always a bit of Christmas. Always a fun bit of Christmas.
Yeah.
And yeah, you've got to make sure that it's all factored in. It must be absolutely diabolically difficult.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm. And very, very well paid in return.
So
I imagine.
Now you get paid in fudge. You get... you work for fudge.
You'd be ringing fudge all year.
Yeah.
So Harry goes to sleep that night and he has a vision of Mr. Weasley being attacked.
I think I was out of the room when this happened. So when he came back and he was all beaten up, I thought he'd be like, I know someone who... I can't tell that story. Anyway.
Okay, good.
Carry on, sorry.
So Harry goes and tells McGonagall.
Yeah.
Who tells Dumbledore... And they Dumbledore alerts all the paintings to go to the Ministry and check on Mr. Weasley.
I imagined a scene where how they'd react if Dumbledore just started talking to two normal paintings.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, this guy's the guy that's going to save us all, is he?
Quick,
oh, shit.
Hey Wayne, go and, go and save Mr. Weasley.
Venus descending a staircase, descend faster.
Why aren't you doing it, hey Wayne?
Some sunflowers, I need your help.
Gently put their hands on his shoulders and lead him away.
Oh dear,
Oi, Lisa, stop moaning. Go and sort it out.
Don't just smirk at me.
This is a no smirking zone.
Mm.
Anyway, so they do find him in time, thanks to Harry. And apparently Voldemort didn't find what he's looking for. And then Harry's like, yeah, so what's happening? And Dumbledore's just completely ignoring him. And then he goes... What's happening? Look at me!
Yeah. Really angry.
Dumbledore's
really
like,
cross.
Did someone say something? So then he says, I'm concerned that Voldemort will try and exploit this connection. So he sends Harry to Snape to teach him something called occlumency.
Yes. I thought it was really interesting. I thought that Rickman really came into his own as the sort of bullying... tutor trying to get the best out of the the troubled young genius, basically.
Yes.
But it made me wonder, like, Snape's allegiances are quite confused at this point because he's in the Order of the Phoenix, but he's also in Slytherin.
Yeah.
Which it's
it
a
will
bit
become
like...
clearer as it gets goes on.
Yeah. Yes. But it's like someone who like is really into Nigel Farage, but then when Brexit actually goes through and we're loading refugees onto boats full of E. coli, he goes like, oh, I was just being an agent provocateur. I don't want any of this to happen.
I was lying about being a double agent.
Yeah, just lying about being a double.
It's apparently because Voldemort, if he can get in his mind, Voldemort can, so he's going to defend him, teach him to defend his mind from Voldemort's access and influence.
Mm.
So, Mr. Weasley is back for Christmas, looking like he's been beaten up.
Yeah.
All it was, Harry, is I went into a gentleman's lavatory. Yeah. And I put my lollipop through the hole to see if anyone would like to lick on it like muggles do. And a man came in and beat me up.
Well, the man from the next cubicle, I think he said his name was Mill Wall. And he was very unhappy, which surprised me. Oh,
dear. Furious young man.
But he's a beautiful bit here where he says, to Harry, without whom I wouldn't be here.
Oh,
it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I think Julie Walters and Mark Williams might be my favourite screen couple of all time.
Definitely.
Absolutely adorable. Definitely.
Mark Williams is punching though, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, not half.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. Do you reckon, fair play.
Do you reckon he gets her to put saucy lingerie on and come in with two lubes?
Two lubes.
You've spit it all over the floor.
Yeah, the trouble is they can't get out the bedroom because they keep slipping over.
What was it you wanted again?
Two loops.
Can you do on the trolley? That wasn't me. Oh, yeah.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
He thanks Harry. Harry gets a scarf. Sirius turns up and says, "Well done, Harry." And then Harry goes, "Look, I'm a bit worried." And he goes, "Why?" And he goes, "Well, when I saw Mr. Weasley being attacked, I wasn't watching it. I was doing it."
Yeah. I was doing it at last.
I was doing it to him. What?
Uncle
Look,
Vernon.
Harry, you're at the age now. No, I mean, I was attacking him. Oh, thank God.
I was watching a video called POV, Mark Williams giving a right good scene. Mark Williams destroyed by massive snake.
J-O-I.
Harry, gather round. We're going to watch a Christmas film. I rented it from a muggle. It's called Deep Throat.
That's some opera singers, I'd imagine.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
Must be. Some muggle singing. Yeah. Afterwards, we're going to watch a film, a travelogue film, Harry. It's called Debbie Does Dallas. I rented it from the same muggle.
What is double penetration, Harry? Yeah. Is that when economic outgoings make the markets move in two different directions?
Sorry, I'm not being rude, Mr. Weasley, but I'm trying to talk to Sirius here about something I'm quite worried about.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What is anal, Harry?
It's the kind of thing where once Harry's out of the room, he just sort of hangs his head and goes, "I know what they all mean."
Yeah. I just want someone to tell me.
I wish I didn't know.
Yeah.
Every time I hope he'll give me an innocent explanation, and every time it's some profane sexual act.
I've just remembered that is actually just from, there's the bit in 30 Rock where Kenneth says, "Oh, when my stepdad used to make me go out and get balloons for him and my mum," and then he just goes, I know they're condoms.
Forgotten about that.
And then he says to Sirius, look, I'm worried about all that's happening. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to be, if I'm turning evil, if I'm a bad person.
Yeah.
Sirius goes, you're a very special boy. You're a lovely good boy.
Yeah. You're so good and special and pretty.
Hagrid's back.
Hey!
Yay! Umbridge has been on holiday to cell block 99.
Yeah.
And he's back, everyone.
Just slam someone's head into a latrine.
I've been ripping up nonsense, Harry. I liked it so much.
I liked it so much I got the package deal. The fudge package deal.
Umbridge wants to know where he's been.
Yeah.
Quite rightly, he's been gone for ages.
Yeah.
And he says, I went to get some fresh air, but he's covered in fucking bruises. So he has been in cell block 99.
Yeah.
And then Umbridge leaves and you get a good bit here where she's like, comes out, smells. He's like, ugh. So she gets her perfume out, sprays it, and then does an X on his door like he's a witch. I enjoyed that.
That's fun.
Yeah,
that's
nice, But they like witches, so.
Oh, yeah. Like a
bad
witch.
The opposite of a witch.
Bad witch.
Bad jelly.
Drop bags.
Yeah. And then he tells the kids he's been off talking to the parleying with the giants about joining Dumbledore's army. And then he goes, there's a storm coming, boys and girls. Ooh. And then we cut to Azkaban, where Bellatrix Lestrange, played by Helena Bonham Carter.
Lestrange.
I was reading that apparently this was originally offered to Helen McClory.
Oh, yeah.
But she'd just been pregnant.
Yeah.
She had to turn it down, but she's in it later as...
She's his Draco's mum. Yeah, Draco's mum.
Helen McCrory, rest in peace, right?
Rest in peace.
Yeah, so sad.
But yeah, this part was hers. Man. So Helena Bonham Carter was second choice.
She is very good, though, Helen. Oh,
she does very well, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Helen McCrory missed greatly. She's lovely.
Mm.
Yeah, so she escapes from the prison with 9 other Death Eaters, apparently. How many Death Eaters?
Oh, man. 9 Death Eaters.
Meanwhile, at Hogwarts even. Mm. Hogwarts would be very cosy. Umbridge and her squad, including Ron's older brother, the fucking cunt.
Oh, you shit.
Break through the wall and find Harry and everyone training.
Yeah.
And Dumbledore, they go, well, this is your fault. And then Dumbledore goes, yeah, actually, it's my fault. I got them all to do this. And they're like, well, you're going to Azkaban. Then he goes, no, I don't think so. And then he claps as a phoenix flies over him and he bursts into flames and disappears.
Pretty cool.
And then one of the wizards goes, say what you like about Dumbledore, motherfucker's got drip.
And the man who says that was the guy, forgive me, I've forgotten his name. He's in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, is he the Navy guy?
Yeah, I killed Jones myself.
Ah, George Harris.
Yeah, all I want is to keep the woman.
Yes. He's great.
Yeah.
I mean, like a lot of the people of colour in the Harry Potter universe, slightly underserved.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he's another one. Oh, well, I won't spoil it because Tom hasn't seen it.
I haven't seen it. Don't give it away.
So Umbridge is like, well, as they walk out, they see Cho.
Yeah.
And it would appear that Cho has betrayed them all.
It seems that way, yes.
Yeah.
So Harry, she's like, oh, Harry. And he's like, he doesn't say anything, but he just blanks her and walks off.
Yeah. Harry, I'm so fucking sorry.
Oh, Jesus, I fucked up here.
Jesus,
oh,
I've
been all right,
Raj
cunt, Harry. I'm so sorry. Harry, have you ever noticed how you get grey pubes? Chow played by Billy Connolly.
Yeah,
of course, as she was.
Why isn't Billy Connolly in this?
Good point.
Wasn't he? Isn't he a ghost or something? No. In one
he kept saying fucking cunt every 5 seconds.
Oh, he went the way of Rick Mayall.
That's right.
Yeah, I thought he's in it.
Is he?
Yeah, hang on.
Is he later?
I don't think he is.
Okay, maybe I'm just talking.
He's in The Hobbit.
He is. And they sort of, something went on there, didn't they? Because it's sort of not him. He's under...
He's under tons of prosthetics, so he might as well not have been him. It's very weird. Anyway, so Umbridge is now the new headmistress of Hogwarts.
Boo!
Boo. Stinker.
We don't need no education.
Hagrid takes Harry, Ron and Hermione to the woods to show them what he has been doing.
Yeah, oh God.
Which is his giant half-brother, Grop.
Grop,
He looks like Mark Addy if you made him out of plasticine. Yeah.
I don't like this bit.
No.
It makes me sad because I don't want to... Because he's not like... It's slightly... It's a grey area to do with like he's not mentally kind of...
Capable.
capable, and it's a bit sad, and it opens up a lot of questions that I don't think Harry.
Well,
Potter
that's right. Is. I think it's also it's not necessarily that you know the implication is that he's got a condition, but it's more that he's more giant. There's more giant in him than in Hagrid. Mm. But then all of this just does make me wonder the details of their conception.
Questions that are raised by.
Because as far as I can tell, a sort of a normal human person and a giant simple monster
It's the spiders from Arachnophobia again. Where the big spider from the jungle comes to America, has sex with a tiny little spider.
Yeah.
Which is gross.
Yeah.
Is this the offspring of him and Francis de la Tour?
Yeah, well, he's his half brother, but it might be.
Yeah, brother.
Oh,
not...
he's his half brother. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I don't think I was paying attention.
But yeah, what we're saying here is that Hagrid said, "Come and meet my brother," and they go in the woods, and he's got a man tied to a tree by a rope.
Yeah. Mm.
If he wasn't a giant, you'd be a bit like, "This is a bit off, Hagrid.
This is very out of order.
Yeah. It's not cool.
What
man.
Are you feeding him on fish heads?" Yeah. But he loves Hermione, and God knows what he'd do to her if he really got older.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Luckily, that's... Uncle Vernon comes in and
be for a. Guys, I'm so sorry I got out. Run! For God's sake, run!
For God's sake, get out of here!
It's taken me 10 days to run here.
I'm on such a calorie deficit. It's insane.
The entire Midlands are gone. They're just gone, Harry.
I fuck so many. So many.
Why?
There's like a chicken and a bull stuck on the end of it still.
Yeah, you know, like skewers. When a car goes through a barn and then it's got like.
It's covered in hay and guts. So Snape keeps testing Harry and his thoughts. And starts winding him up about his dead dad. Going, "You're just like your father, lazy, stupid." Mm. Went to
your
Ruby Wax's
was
house.
A
yeah, and then he gets in Snape's head.
Oh yeah.
And then we see that if you've read Alan Rickman's diaries, he just spends all his time at Belinda Lang or Ruby Wax's house. No, you see him being bullied by Harry's dad.
Yeah, Harry goes, "My father was a Chad."
Yeah. So Harry comes out and the Snape goes, "Get out. How dare you invade my thoughts, even though that's what I've been doing to you." So after all of Umbridge's treatment, Fred and George are like, "Well, you know what, because there's loads of kids outside Umbridge's office, even a tiny little kiddie with the hand thing."
Oh yeah, that's horrible.
Fred and George are like, "You know what, Fred or George, whichever one you are, I don't think education's for us, you know."
Yeah.
And then we get them storming the owl exam, throwing fireworks everywhere and making chaos. And then Umbridge gets chased by a big dragon.
Yeah.
And Warwick Davis gives it a fist bump.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
So this is where I am on Umbridge's side, though, because, you know, these kids are going out into the working world not that long from now, and they're not going to get a placement at a decent wand manufacturing firm without their owls, you know? And I just picture that when that dragon's chasing her out of the room, there's one little kid at the back just going, "No, no, please, please, I need this, I need this. I'm trying to concentrate, oh, God.
I studied.
I worked so
well.
Hard. Just tearing up his revision timetable mind map.
Hanging himself.
Yeah.
Doing that thing where you sharpen two pencils. And
push yourself forward.
Yeah.
Oh. So if a dragon eats your teacher, I think it is an automatic A.
That's handy.
A for awesome. So Harry, he can't celebrate because he suddenly gets a vision, even not a village, of Voldemort torturing Sirius Black.
No.
So Harry, Ron, Hermione go to Umbridge's office to. Tell the order via the flu network.
Yeah.
But Umbridge catches them. And she's about to severely punish them. And then Hermione comes up with a great idea. She goes, "I can show you the hidden weapon that Dumbledore's got in the woods."
I think we all know what it is. But,
Umbridge.
Hidden weapon.
It's Uncle Vernon chained to a tree. Yeah. For God's sake, get back!
Thrusting at nothing at the extreme end of his tether.
Like a kind of chainsaw that's been left idle.
Yeah.
So they go to the woods, and then we see loads, or we saw them earlier, I should say, some centaurs that are cross because the Ministry and Umbridge are treating them bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Groppy sits on Umbridge like Babu Frick, and a little leg sticking out the end.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to the woods, and she's like, right, well, what's all this then? And then the centaurs just arrive.
Yeah.
And they're like, get out of our woods. And then she's like, well, I'm going to fucking strangle one of you to death with a rope there.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Yep.
Fucking horrible.
Yeah.
Terrible,
And Hermione's going, stop it, stop it. Mm. And then out of nowhere, Grawp appears, picks up Umbridge, and then the centaurs attack him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Start firing arrows, probably quite rightly.
Yeah.
She's ours.
And he drops Umbridge, and then all the centaurs grab her and ride off to God knows where with her.
They take her off to centaur parks.
Ah! Yay. Nice. Fantastic. That's very good.
If when you went to centaur parks, you were like looked after exclusively by centaurs. I love that.
That would be so
and
nice,
they charge
it?
You £3,000 for a £500 shed.
But if they're centaurs, I'll take it.
Yeah. Well, they put in all the legwork, haven't they, so.
Yay.
Well, just before Umbridge goes, we get a good closure here because she says, tell them I mean no harm. And Harry says, sorry, Professor, I mustn't tell lies.
Oh.
Nice! That should we should get there another cutback to Warwick Davis completely out of context doing that fist bump.
Yes!
Perfect. Yeah.
So Harry, Hermione, Ron, Luna, Neville, and Ginny get on the flying dead horses to the Ministry of Magic to save Sirius.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I wondered at this point whether, like, wouldn't all of the kids have been able to see the blind horse corpses because they lost Cedric Diggory. But no, okay.
No. Well, they didn't see it happen.
What level of death do you have to see? If you squash a mosquito, can you see the horses?
Or suddenly your room fills up with blind horse corpses.
Yeah.
You only see one of their legs.
Yeah.
It has to be an actual person.
Hoof. Right,
A hoof.
What they did is, before they went, Harry showed them the 1984 Royal Variety performance. Or Budweiser's press conference.
Oh, that's the same Budweiser. Oh, Jesus,
then
Harry.
Then he shows them that video of the guy saying, this is democracy manifest.
Yeah.
He doesn't die. I just really like this video. It's great.
I like that one.
Fucking brilliant.
A succulent Chinese meal.
Never gets boring. Never gets boring.
No.
And of course, Brian Pern wrote a song about it.
He sure did.
So they get there and they find the object that Voldemort is after, which is a prophecy. labeled with Harry's name. And then just as he's about to grab it, Lucius Malfoy and Bellatrix Lestrange turn up. And they find out that the vision Harry saw of Sirius being tortured was imaginary. It was a ruse.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
And then we get the... I've just written here, I remember the filmmakers, when this film came out, saying, tell you what, all the bit where they're standing around those globes,
it's
big green screen. Amazing, eh? And you're like, no, it looks fucking terrible.
This is one of the few bits that has aged badly,
I
would say.
It looks so gross. Everything's so dark and weird and doesn't look right.
Although, fun fact, Helena Bonham Carter here is wearing the outfit she married Tim Burton in. So
She looks like... I'm guessing when she was like, what's Bellatrix going to look like? And she looked over in bed while she was reading the script and went, him!
Yeah. Just
okay,
that.
I've got it. Yeah.
Took a picture. What was that for? No, nothing.
Is Tim Burton asleep?
Tim Burton is asleep created the internet, didn't he?
I just
got that.
Tim Burton's sleep.
Didn't want any money from it.
Yeah, exactly.
He got to be in the 2012 Olympics ceremony. Yeah. Hey, he was in a little bed with a nightcap on.
Got run over by Clive Sinclair in the C5.
Well, didn't the IRA used to use C5s? They blew up the Brighton Grand with one.
Well, yeah, because you didn't think they were so unthreatening. You didn't think much of them.
That's why they had to have a 10-minute warning because they were so slow. Anyway, so Harry refuses to give the prophecy over, and then they have a fight.
Clive's ink layer. That's a tattoo parlor.
Very good.
Yeah. Next door to the ex-military man, Commodore Amiga. he's old now, so he's a Commodore 64.
Yeah.
Come on. We've been talking for ages.
BBC Micro.
Yep. Good. I've written here the filmmakers and all the actors were like, hey, what we were doing, you know what we called it? Wand Foo. I'm like, no, you're just pointing sticks at each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on.
It's not like John Wick, is it? No. John Wicker.
Mm.
Yeah.
John Wicker. Clive's ink layer.
Clive's
what about Tim Burton asleep?
What about Alan Wick, where it's Alan Wicker fighting people?
I love it.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. What we have here is a man with a pistol. And they just killed my dog. So I'm going to go and use my Barclay cap to buy a rifle.
Nice.
Yep. So Harry hands it to Lucius because the Duthy is... All the students are so bad at fighting because Harry's such a shit teacher. They instantly get overpowered.
Yeah.
Because what they didn't countenance for is that the Deathy is fly around in a big sort of mess.
Oh, yeah.
Which you can't really legislate for, can you?
No, you can't deal with that.
So he's hands over the thing, and just as he does, Lucius, Sirius, and Remus Lupin appear with the rest of the Order members. So Tom...
The Avengers turn up, they come out of the portal to
say
something.
They do, yeah.
This portal, we never find out what it is and where it goes, do we?
No.
To Hero Land.
Because this will take... I'll bring this up in a moment as to why. Because as they're fighting, Sirius... sends Lucius flying. And as he does, ha ha ha, Bellatrix shouts Armada, whatever it's called, Vidada.
Yep.
Cadaver, which all Cadaver. Of them should have done immediately, by the way.
Yeah, just kill them all.
Come out of the portal and shouted that, and then all the Death Eaters are dead.
Mm-hmm. How'd
you like that?
Later especially, where like Bellatrix Lestrange just sort of wanders off into the shadows and Voldemort bringing in for like performance review saying, so you killed Sirius Black while he was standing next to Harry Potter.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Then Harry Potter was standing there, like, gawping at dying Sirius Black. Mm. And what did you do? I just sort of giggled and left. Right. okay. Well, write that up in the report, and we'll have to have a chat about this later. Maybe a sort of training course or something. I hate to criticise, but I just... Yeah. Can you see what you did wrong? You know, look at the footage back.
Could you also stop saying that thing about me? Well, I've heard people saying, I hear Voldemort's got no nose. How does he smell? Terrible.
it's very hurtful, that sort of thing.
Because,
You know, this isn't part of being evil. I was just stood too close to a threshing machine once. So this is, it's quite out of order, you saying that.
Uncle Vernon grabbed me from behind and I was against a dry wall. Friction rubbed my nose off.
It rubbed completely off, yeah.
Now, what I was going to ask was, it's because Sirius dies and then floats backwards through it.
Yeah. Mm.
Does he like land on someone's picnic or something?
He lands on the big pile of licorice smelling wizard shits in some other country.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, you lot are
sorry
fucking
about
useless.
I was fucking useless in that battle, wasn't I? Yeah, because he just floats off.
Yeah.
Mystically.
Yeah.
Oh.
He said in an interview the other day that he said he thought they killed me off too soon.
Oh. Well, I mean, The books, aren't they? I suppose they can't do much.
That's right. So then Voldemort appears. But moments before he can kill Hill, Dumbledore appears.
Yeah.
They do like a Ghostbusters crossing the stream type
thing.
They
do DC third act. They fire the beams at each other.
But we at least get a bit of creativity here with the old fire and the water and the sand.
I love that.
I love that.
I was worried it was going to be the same, you know, the angriest beam wins. They did all the elemental stuff and the sort of ballet of it was lovely.
Yeah.
It still stands up in terms of the effects, I think. I think Corridor Crew, if you've seen Corridor Crew, they did one on this sequence not long ago.
Oh, yeah.
And explained how it was all done with the effects.
What is Corridor Crew, please?
Oh, Corridor Crew is these guys who work in visual effects. And they talk about how visual effects were done.
Oh, nice.
It's always very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
Captain
Disillusion on YouTube as well. Have you seen him?
No.
I think he's been
list.
In one of those or mentioned in one of those.
Mm.
It makes sense because he's one of those people who is enormous on YouTube. He's not like Uncle Vernon. I mean, he's very he's like incredibly popular worldwide. And I hadn't heard of him until my wife mentioned his videos. And he did this incredible, just this huge, long, deep dive video on Flight of the Navigator.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And how, like, for the time, how impossibly perfect the effects are in it. And there's all these joins you cannot see. And it's, brilliant.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, well, I'll go and watch those later.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. And then they have a fight, and then Voldemort possesses Harry. And he's like, well, you'll have to kill me.
Yeah.
And he sings, you gotta pay the troll toll if you want to get into that troll toll. You gotta pay the troll toll you want to get in.
Little boy, nasty boy, I love you. Yeah.
Get into Harry Potter, boy.
The troll tax. The troll tax. You've got to pay the troll tax. But this is a nice line here where Dumbledore says to him, it's not how you're alike, it's how you're not.
Mm. Very good.
Lovely, isn't it? Isn't that a nice thing?
I mean, there are some points where, like, I quite like it where writing becomes whatever the opposite of subtextual is, because as we know, like all good villain and hero arcs, basically the hero and the villain are alike in some ways, and they differ in different.
You and I.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like basically saying that out loud and going, look, you are the same, but also you have differences, and it's the differences that mean you'll win.
My first nemesis plotline.
But that becomes important later on in the series, doesn't it, Tom?
That's true.
So then Voldemort is witness to Harry seeing all his friends and all his loved ones, and then he says to Voldemort, you'll never have this.
Yeah.
You big fucking loser. And then Voldemort comes out and says to him, you're a fool, Harry Potter, and you will lose everything. And then he runs off.
Not before, though. I'm tired. I've got to go.
Not before Fudge arrives and goes, my God, he is back.
He's back.
Yeah.
Guess who's back?
back again.
Riddle's back.
I'm thankful, but also surprised that like the MTV Movie Awards didn't do without me as someone dressed as Voldemort.
Now this is a good job for me.
Oh, Eminem, shaved head, could also be a boob on Umbridge.
That's true.
I'll take Umbridge with that, he says.
Nice.
Yep.
As he's having sex with her while after ordering a coffee.
Seeing the inevitable onslaught of Uncle Vernon approaching.
Coming over the hill.
Like in Holy Grail.
Coming over the hill? It's Uncle Vernon.
It's Uncle Vernon.
So Fudge immediately resigns in disgrace.
Good.
Yes.
Because the papers are like, he is back.
Yeah.
So Harry was right.
Yep.
So Umbridge is then, she's also dismissed.
We find out that Umbridge hasn't been murdered by the centaurs.
That's right,
God knows what they did to her.
If they didn't have that headline, you'd assume that she would have been trampled to death in seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
It could have been like a sort of Manson-style compound where all the centaurs
live. All the centaurs.
She's been indoctrinated. She thinks she's a centaur now.
She attaches a couple of branches to like her hips so that she's got four legs.
I'm a centaur now. But yeah, there we go. So Fudge, I've done that bit. So Dumbledore explains, look, I had to distance myself from you because I didn't want Voldemort to exploit our connection.
Seems like you're back engineering while you've been a dick this whole time.
All right. I was just fucking annoyed because you're boring.
Quite frankly, you wind me up, Harry, and I was just, I'm getting a bit sick of it now. Five years.
And I'm not alone in this, and I think someone should tell you. You were just making Cedric's death all about you. Frankly, we're all here sick of hearing it.
Yeah, but if you remember, I did win the Triwizard Tournament. So if you could just remember that as well.
I'm a special boy.
I'm the most special
boy. Also, just to say, knock it on the head with Sirius as well. No one wants to hear it. So he reveals the prophecy. As he grieves Sirius' death, Harry tries coming to terms with it, which is apparently that neither can live while the other survives.
Mm. Yes.
And if I were Harry, I'd go, oh, great, so I've no choice. When can I kill him? Can I do it now? Mm. Where is he?
Just go while he's asleep, slit his throat.
Yeah.
Save countless lives. Brilliant. Where is he?
Lovely stuff.
You're like God, aren't you, big white beard man? You know where everything is all the time and can teleport there instantly. Well, I've seen you do it. So if you could just send me to where he is now, and I'll slit his little throat while he's weakened.
But again, not to be too spoilery, that's something he can't do. She's thought of that, you see.
Damn.
Oh, yeah.
Outfoxed again.
So then Harry goes to Ron and Hermione at the end. You know what? I don't mind, because I've got something Voldemort doesn't have. And he says, what's that? And he says, a fuck machine for an uncle. No, he says, I've got something worth. Oh, God, get the train quick.
Oh, God, he's coming towards the school. Go, run.
I have got something worth fighting for.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then long shot of Hogwarts, and then a blind skeleton horse flies directly into the screen going, yeah!
Uncle Vernon hanging out the back.
Yeah.
With his vinegar strokes face and freeze frame.
And it freezes on that, and then and the credits get splatted onto the screen.
And then, because Vernon kills it, he now can see extra horses.
And it's All Star by Smash Mouth, isn't it, that plays on the...
Somebody
wants to make... There's a freeze just as Uncle Vernon's gurning face appears, and then some bat, and then the credits splat up,
and the screen gets splattered with white splats, and it's got all the credits in them.
Yeah, right.
Like an
Indie
Shrek.
Yeah. And then there's like a blooper reel.
Yes,
that's always fun as well.
But it's just every single scene in the film going fine, then Uncle Vernon comes starts. Assaulting someone or something.
Surely it must be over by now. Yeah.
Well, there we go. Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Hooray!
Hooray!
Well, what a wonderful time we've all had.
We have, haven't we?
I enjoyed it brilliantly.
Yes.
I enjoyed watching the film, and I enjoyed discussing it even more.
Yes.
And now I will not stop thinking about Uncle Vernon for as long as I live.
Well, next got the Half-Blood Prince.
Mm-hmm.
Which some people don't like, but I enjoy.
I think that's the second one I ever saw. Mm. Is the Half-Blood Prince. I enjoy it. I think I like the. There's a montage bit in it which I really enjoy.
That's
spoilers,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll get together and do that at some point.
I look forward to seeing.
I can't wait.
Having no expectations or context for what it is, so that'll be fun.
Until then, I'm going to say thank you, Tom Crowley.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you, Tom Neenan.
Thank you so much.
And thank you everyone for listening. And until next time, keep wizarding.
Keep wizarding and Vernoning.
And Vernoning.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. I'm sorry, I can't help it. I don't want to be doing it. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.